Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm Janine Vosper, and with me today I have Mary Wong. Mary is a counsellor, a coach, and a business consultant specialising in intergenerational, intergenerational communication and conflict resolution. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Janine. It's lovely to be here.
Now, I know that you are a great advocate, passionate about effective communication. And that's what we're going to be covering, is communication with self and communication with others today, and how to be effective in that and effective in your business with that as well.
Absolutely.
Now, that introduction was really small and very short. Now, you and I do know each other well, and maybe that's why you provided me with such a very short little bio and introduction, but our listeners don't know you. So can you tell me a little bit more about Mary Wong?
A little bit about Mary Wong. Well, Mary grew up in a small country town in central Queensland and was very familiar with what it was to be judged and to judge others, because that was the culture of that small town, and also on how to be a victim, which was also the culture of the town, and if I could say, probably also the culture of my family and the way that I was brought up. So it took me a while to learn that that wasn't the only way to operate in life. And having married and moved away from that town some 30 years ago, there's been a massive journey of change that's gone on through that period of time. I was a nurse back when I got married. Then I stopped nursing and I became a fashion designer, and I did bridal and evening wear, haute couture made to measure, bridal and evening wear, or one-off beautiful garments. And through that period of time, I worked a lot with young girls who, and even their mothers as well, who were going through a massive change in their life. It was a massive period of change. And having to deal with those sorts of changes, having to deal with the way that they looked at themselves, at their bodies, at their lives, and ended up by default doing lots of counselling. I gave that up when I eventually started having children, and my then 2-year-old decided to cut a dress in half on me 4 days out from the wedding. Now, there's a story that could keep us going for a while.
Suffice I haven't to heard say that story did, yet. I will ask you that over dinner,
yes,
one night.
Well, suffice it to say, she did get her dress. I didn't let her down. There wasn't a lot of sleep in that period of time, though. And my son did manage to survive, so he's doing okay. That's also important to know. But after being a mum at home for a while, I then ended up studying counselling, and it was interesting to discover that a lot of what I'd already been doing intuitively, naturally with the girls was actually the right approach to what counselling is about and to how I should be doing it. I also then studied business management, and from there also studied a diploma in coaching, leadership and mentoring. So the combination of those three skill sets is what my business is based on and where I move from there. Outside of my business, I'm also involved in a couple of not-for-profit organisations, one of which is Power Talk International, an international organisation that assists people with public speaking skills and leadership skills. And I've certainly had massive growth through my participation in that organisation. I do have taken on leadership roles in many levels in that organisation. In fact,
listeners, I just wanted to interject here with Mary. Mary is currently the president of her local club. She's president of the state and president of the Australian region. And that's just for the fun of it, Mary.
It is. And it's something that I'm very passionate about. And that's the reason why I put my hand up to fill those roles and to push forward With that organisation. I've seen incredible growth of people who've come as members, not just myself, but other people who've come along as members and now are stepping up into leadership roles as well. And watching them blossom is something that really delights me. It really, you know, switches me on and keeps me going and keeps me running.
On that as well, is what I've noticed with you and from when I first met you about 15 years ago is that change in you, that you now, you people look up to you as a leader in that organization. I've seen that and the way you're able to you know, really project that level of not managing it, you're leading them into greatness. And I love seeing that.
Thank you, Janine. That's lovely. Thank you. That's great feedback. Yeah, and becoming a leader is something that's takes a period of time and a period of working through various processes, but it is something that's learned. A lot of people say leadership comes naturally. It's leadership is something you can learn. Just because you're somebody who hasn't been a leader before or may never have functioned in that kind of role before doesn't mean that you can't learn to be, and that or that you can't do that job very, very well. So, and one of the great things about Power Talk is that you get feedback, you get mentoring, and there aren't a lot of places where that's available to you these days. At the sort of level that Power Talk gives it to you. It's a very supportive organisation, a very encouraging organisation, and there's lots of people within the organisation who freely give of their time and energy just to help other people grow, and it's really very satisfying to be part of that and very gratifying to be part of that. It's a fabulous thing. I'd recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely, and I do totally agree with you with that. Now, you're also president of
the Professional Counsellors
Association. That job's been taken.
It's the Professional Counsellors and Coaches Association of Australia. We're a professional development organisation, professional association for counsellors and coaches within Australia. We take counsellors and coaches anything from diploma level, and we don't discriminate. As long as you've done a registered training organisation, accredited counselling diploma, you are accepted as a member of PROFCA Incorporated. We're a fairly young organisation. We've only been around about 4 years, but we're very quickly becoming the organisation of choice for coaches and counsellors. We have very high ethical standards and we work towards the development of the coaching and counselling industries in Australia.
And I imagine through both of those organisations, the you know your focus is that intergenerational communication and being able to communicate really effectively and understand the thinking of people from different generations. So you would get a lot of opportunity to experience that in your roles as a member.
Absolutely.
And a leader in those organisations.
Yes, like Power Talk, for example, we have 90-plus-year-olds and we have 20-year-olds, and we have to all work together in that organisation and fulfil the needs of all of those members at those different levels. And it was, to be honest, the area that being part of Power Talk was the area that really piqued my interest to start off with intergenerational communication, because you come across people who are in a particular generation and they go, what is wrong with these young people? And you come across with people in the younger generation who go, what is it with these old people? And getting them to understand where the other person comes from and why they think the way they do, why they have a generational culture that they have, really makes a difference to helping them to get along well, to work together productively, and to become a lot closer and more friendly than what they might otherwise have become. And it's not only in Power Talk. I recognised very quickly that that goes on right throughout the world in every facet of our lives, in every facet of society, and in particular in business. We see it a lot with when the people who are running a business are, you know, baby boomers or beyond, and then you've got the Gen Ys or the millennials coming into the business to work for them, and the Gen Ys and the I beg your pardon, the millennials and beyond, the baby boomers and beyond. Thank you.
That's right.
having a moment there.
Having a baby boomer moment.
I'm actually an ex.
You're an ex, I know that. Yeah.
Only just. But the baby boomers and beyond, and some of us older Gen Xers, look at the Ys and the millennials and go, oh, my God, how can they not have this stuff? How do they not understand that, you know, you come to work dressed in a certain manner, you don't just wander off and pop onto Facebook every 5 minutes. All these sorts of things that come up in a work environment can be addressed by understanding the culture of that generation, and that helps to communicate between those two generations. It's a very interesting study.
Yeah, and that would be, of course, then build acceptance and non-judgment, and then I'm assuming then you're learning ways to give positive feedback as well.
Absolutely. It's one of the really big important things when dealing with the younger generation. These kids have grown up, and I shouldn't say kids, they're young adults. They've grown up as children through a school system that doesn't want to give any negatives. The culture of the schooling system while they've been at school is, you know, yep, they might do a really appalling job of an assignment and the teacher can't say, that was awful, that was terrible, you've done a dreadful job of this, go back and do it again, which is what we used to get. We used to get, that's shocking, you failed, out the door. They don't get that anymore. They get positives all the way through. They get, well, I'm really impressed to see you wrote 500 words.
And that just prepares them for the real world so well, doesn't it?
Doesn't it just? Fortunately, the education department is now recognising that building resilience is an important thing. So that's turning on its head. But we've got a whole generation of people who didn't have resilience built through their youth and childhood. And as young adults, they're suddenly discovering that, oh, my God, the world is not a happy place. I don't get to hear that I'm fantastic and wonderful, even though that's what I think I am. And so it's a really difficult place for them to be. So the older people who are looking at them and going, you know, oh, you're just terrible, judging them as you're just terrible and you've got such a high opinion of yourself, don't understand where they came from. And why it is that they're where they're at. So if we can get them to understand that, and conversely, if we can get the younger people to understand the older people and the fact that they grew up in a space where if it was bloody awful, the teacher said, that was shocking, you were failed, that's it, you're done. And it's an entirely different culture to what they grew up in. So if each of those can understand where the other one comes from, it helps to break down that judgment. And judgment is the biggest barrier to communication that exists on this planet. If we look at someone and judge them, our bodies immediately show what we're thinking. Whether we say something or not, our nonverbals say, oh, God, yeah, who do you think you are, or whatever it is that we're thinking. And that response communicates a lot more than what people realise it does. So we really need to stop the judgment. It really makes a difference.
And I can see that with, you know, that judgment when you're in business. This, look, and it is, I mean, our audience is mostly women, and we're talking to women here. So women are more susceptible to that judgment. It appears they are, you know, we're women, so we're more likely to be able to get into the heads of women as opposed to into the heads of men. But that's what my experience has been, that women tend to belittle themselves more and judge it, and it really does make them hold back, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So as we've grown up as young girls, growing up as young girls, we've been told, or whether verbally or non-verbally, that we are the subspecies, that men are so much higher than us. It's been part of the culture as we grew up. And so that belief is implanted into our brain that we're not as great as men. Men tend to grow up with a bigger ego because they keep getting told how great they are. And then you get to see men with their big ego who think they're bigger, and women with their small ego who think they're smaller. And so you get this inequity that continues. Women take on that judgment because that's what they've had all their life. It's a again, it's been culturally conditioned into them to judge themselves, to think that they're not as good, to think that they're not as strong, to think that they're not as capable. And physically, we aren't, let's face it, physically, women and men are a different species.
I agree.
And that's entirely reasonable. It's entirely reasonable. Mm. And there are times when a woman has to say to a man, look, I can't do that. Can you please do it?
Mm. And open the jar off the Vegemite, the lid off the Vegemite. You know,
I had to do it with my son just yesterday. I couldn't get the jar lid off and I had to say to my 16-year-old, can you get this? Because my muscles are just not as big as yours. He got it, but he had to work on it too, which made me feel better.
It does. It does.
It does, doesn't it?
Something worse when they do it so easily. Yeah.
But we've been conditioned to think that physical strength is the same as inner strength, and it's not.
Mm.
Strength of character, strength of ability, strength of being who we are, strength of perseverance, resilience, all of that. They're all strengths that women have and have in abundance. My mother always says if men had the second baby, there wouldn't be one because they wouldn't go through it. Women have an extraordinary capacity for dealing with stuff and moving on. And it's really important that we as women recognize that about ourselves, that we don't judge ourselves because we had to get someone else to open the jam jar for us. Mm. It's a fact of life. One of the really big things about judging ourselves is recognizing when it's a judgment and when it's a truth. And there's a big difference between a judgment and a truth. A truth is, okay, I'm not strong enough to open this jar. A judgment is there's something really wrong with me. I can't open this jar.
Mm. Yeah, and that is a very big difference, isn't it? There's that
Absolutely.
Story that's been pre-told so many times before, then that becomes a person's reality.
Yep. Yep. And what are we telling ourselves? What are we perceiving? What is reality and what are we perceiving? And our perceptions become our reality. So if we perceive constantly that there's something terribly wrong with us, well, hey, it will become there's something terribly wrong with us. Mm. However, if we perceive, okay, I'm not strong enough to open this jam jar, what do I do about this? I can use my powers of reasoning, my powers of you know, my clever brain to go, okay, who else can open this jam jar? Let's get them to do the job and we can delegate the task. We can use it. We can dump the task and go, I'm not having jam, and open the Vegemite instead. Or we can just go, you know what? It's okay. It's okay that I can't open this jar right now. But I don't want to feel like that again. And so we go and do exercise or something to strengthen ourselves in that area and to improve in that area so that we can.
Yeah.
The other thing we can do is just accept it and go, you know what? Sometimes it's okay to not be perfect because every one of us is not perfect. We're human.
Mm. And that's part of that whole thing, isn't it, that we see we're bombarded with, you know, TV and things all the time where we're – this perception of perfection and so that's what we're striving towards is to be, you know, a size 8 model and just
is it real? Is it real? Is it realistic?
Amazing lives. That's right. Mm. These perfect children and it's fortunate a lot of the programs now on TV aren't, you know, the ones that were around in the 60s in America and where everything was just perfectly so. They're a lot more
Stepford Wives.
Yeah, a lot more dysfunctional now so that we can see the reality as well. And that
well, the truth of the matter is look how dysfunctional those families were in those shows. I mean, the things come out now about the sexual abuse and everything else that went on in those shows. But we were brought up on this diet of aim for this perfection. Now, there's nothing wrong with aiming for a high standard. What goes wrong is when you think there's something wrong with you if you don't achieve perfection.
That's when
it's not right.
And perfection is what?
Well, and this is my favourite saying, perfection is imperfection.
Yes.
For humanity, perfection is imperfection. None of us were intended to be absolutely perfect. It is the role of imperfection to teach us. They're our lessons. They're our gifts. They're the things that we learn from as we grow through life. So when we can't do something, it's our opportunity to learn from it. Mm. It's our opportunity to go, okay, how else can this happen? How else can I make this happen? And we learn and we grow through opening ourselves to being vulnerable, to being unable to do something, and accept that rather than judging ourselves on it. It's really important.
Yeah, so something that sharing just on that particular point is that quite a few years ago, I was getting vertigo regularly, and went and because I do everything the alternate healers first, and went and spoke to somebody, and she just said, "You need to let go of control." And that to me, you're smiling, Mary, because I know why. Me and control, who would have thought? But
don't worry, I had the same issue.
Yeah, but now. Most of it doesn't matter. I mean, I still set goals and I still aim and I'm still, you know, a high achiever and I'm always aiming to complete something and do some, and I'm always driven. But I learned the universe threw something up at me. I went to see a friend in hospital and I was carrying two hot chocolates and I got off at the wrong floor even though I'd been visiting him. I could not remember where he was. I actually got off at a floor that had total silence. It was for brain operations. And I'm carrying this coffee, my phone's ringing, and it, just all these things, I was out of control. So after speaking with her, I was given the opportunity to be out of control, and I was, and it didn't matter.
And the world didn't end.
That's right.
And it was, isn't it was amazing?
It is. It was an amazing learning, absolutely. And now my vertigo, I manage it through chiropractic adjustments and that, but I don't have it anymore, because even though I like things to be structured and organized, if they don't work out, they don't work out. They've lost that level of that trying to get things perfect.
And it's chaos theory in operation, isn't it, really? Because everything really is chaos. We can't control everything. We've just got to do our best to navigate through the chaos as best we can.
Absolutely. And trying to aim for it is what is caused that dis-ease in the body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the structures and the processes that we put in place help us to navigate more safely. They're our GPS for life. But GPSs sometimes go wrong.
Yeah, I like that analogy, actually. These structures and systems are our GPS. Yes.
Yeah, they definitely are. And if we understand that sometimes the GPS goes wrong and, you know, you have to fall back on, okay, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, that happens. It doesn't, there's no reason to judge ourselves over that. It's just, okay, that didn't work. That's chaos theory in operation. What is the next step that I can do here? And it's always, there's always a next step. What's the next step to take here? What's the next step to take here?
And I'm a big believer now too that if you get held up in traffic and it's not running as smoothly as you want, well, maybe that's a really good thing that you weren't somewhere that could have been the wrong place to be at that particular time as well.
The perfect example of being in the wrong place at the wrong time many years ago when my father had a terrible car accident which resulted in a little child of about 20 months dying. And that child ran out on the road in front of him as he was driving home and he couldn't stop in time. Forever afterwards, he said things like, if I'd only not stopped to get the eggs, if I'd only not done this, if I'd only not done that, you know, and there are things in life that we can't control. There are things in life that are going to happen regardless. You can't live your life in if only. You can only live your life in it happened and I need to move forward, continue working from that. You know, he obviously was distraught. My father's a very lovely man, very gentle, soft, loving man towards children, absolutely loved them. But, and he was distraught about this having happened to this child, and he never ever got over it because he constantly lived in that moment of if only. It's something that you need to let go of, the if onlys, let go of the judging myself. I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't have, you know, someone had called and someone else had seen it happening. There was a man on a push bike on the road beside him. He had the window down. The man on the push bike called out. Dad looked to see what he was calling out, looked back, and the child was right in front of him. It was too late. He just did not see the child because of it. And he said, if only I hadn't looked at the man, you know, and he was judging himself over and over and over. It's all my fault. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have bought eggs. How can buying eggs be a fault?
No, and that's what it is. You know, there's the truth and there's the perception, as you said, isn't it? And just even going on, you know, back into that judgment within business world, how you judge yourself then becomes how the people around you and the team judge yourself, judge you as
they
well,
judge
isn't
you,
it?
Yes. And that culture of judgment. If you have a culture of judgment in judging yourself, in not treating yourself kindly, you also tend to not treat other people so kindly either, and you tend to judge other people around you. So the first step is recognizing it, recognizing that you're judging and going, well, hang on, time out, interrupting that judgment. So whether you're in a room where lunchroom where there's a bit of gossip going on, that gossip is judgment.
Least favorite thing.
Gossip is one of those things. It's terrible. It is terrible. It is absolutely detrimental. And yet women do it and they seem to thrive on it. And as women, we need to be supporting each other, not gossiping and judging each other. As women, if we work together and harness the energy of the collective, there's no stopping what we can do. And the Women's March on Washington the other day just shows how much power a group of women can have when they all have a common cause. So gossip is the thing that we really have to stop. But do you know what? When we judge ourselves, we gossip with ourselves as well. There's that internal talk. Oh, she this and she that. And even though it's not she, it's I this and I that, which is even more detrimental because you're owning it.
You own it more,
You own it. So the first thing to do is to recognize it so that you can interrupt that pattern and go, hang on, I'm gossiping. No, I'm not going to do that, and stop doing it. And I know it sounds really easy to say stop, but that is literally what you need to do. You literally need to go, I recognize that I'm saying something unkind about someone and I need to stop. There would be a reason why she's behaving like that. Now, if you're mid-conversation with someone, it's kind of hard to just put the brakes on. But what you can do as you're having that internal dialogue that says, whoopsie, I'm gossiping here, is just say, well, I guess none of us are perfect, though, are we? You know, and that's a great little out from, whoops, I'm gossiping, and boom, and that helps to stop the conversation and stop that gossip cycle from continuing. So stop it, interrupt it, interrupt that self-talk when you start to say nasty things about yourself and go, whoa, baby, you're not being kind to yourself. And the next thing to do is assess it. You know, what's the truth of this situation? What's the truth behind this? So when you're being unkind to yourself, what's the truth of this? Is the truth of this, like in my father's case, that buying eggs caused this accident?
Which, of course, it wasn't.
It wasn't. It absolutely wasn't. The child was downstairs with an unlocked gate by itself at 6 o'clock at night. It wasn't Dad's fault.
No.
It was one of those things. So what is the truth of the situation? The truth of the situation is I wasn't strong enough to open the jam jar. Going back to the jam jar analogy. What's the emotion behind that? I'm feeling weak. It makes me feel vulnerable. I don't like feeling vulnerable. Now, that's a whole nother session that we could do about vulnerability, because there's power in vulnerability. But the emotion and the truth behind that is I'm not strong enough to open a jam jar. It makes me feel vulnerable. That's actually the story, the truth of that story. And so instead of saying, you know, oh, I'm terrible, I can't open a jam jar, what's wrong with me? I'm going, I'm not strong enough, that makes me feel vulnerable. And then the next thing that comes in is, you know what, I can forgive myself for that. There are reasons for this. I can forgive that because there are reasons for it. I can forgive it if I'm talking it to someone else. I'm much kinder to other people than I am to myself. Most of us are. Especially women who are driven. And so women in business particularly who are running their own businesses are quite often very driven women. We work very hard to get where we want to be, to do what we want to do. And we don't tend to forgive ourselves. We tend to be very, very hard on ourselves. And it's really important to be our own best friend.
Look, that is something that I did learn, particularly from that day, and have taken that on. I feel most moments of the day, but I'm very much so that, okay, so now I just need to actually go and sit in front of the TV for an hour.
And just and go leave do the that. Guilt behind.
Yeah, and not feel guilty about it.
Can I tell you a little story, Janine? Yes. As you know, I'm trying to write a book, and I'm struggling to find the time to sit and write a book. So this weekend I've booked I've booked myself 2 nights in the rainforest. There's no TV, there's very little internet, there's very little telephone reception. I'm taking my computer with my already done research so that because I won't be able to access it on the internet, so I'm doing the research ahead of time. But I'm taking my computer and I'm going up there and I'm going to work and get some work done on this book. And as soon as I booked it, I started to feel guilty.
Oh, really?
As soon as I booked it, I should be home with the kids. And my husband's been away for a week and this is his first weekend home in a while. And I shouldn't be going. I shouldn't be doing this.
Should
myself.
Yeah.
And I had to go and just went, whoa, girl, you are judging yourself big time. And I had to put the brakes on. I had to follow my own process. Okay, I'm recognizing that I am judging myself here. Let's assess the truth of this. The truth of this is that I give my family and everyone around me 150% or 200% or more 24/7. And the truth of it is that for me to be able to achieve what I need to achieve here, it's okay for me to take time out. So it's okay to allow myself to forgive myself for not being here for a little bit and to forgive myself for judging myself. And the next step, start again. So I'm starting again on that process of going, hey, I've got 2 days out to work on my book. I'm going to achieve so much. I know I'm going to come back with at least 5 chapters done. It feels amazing. I am so empowered by it. Ever since I did that process on there, when did I book it? Day before yesterday I booked it. Ever since I did that process, I feel great. And I have powered through the things that I've needed to do because I let go of that judgment and I stopped being unkind to myself, recognized who I was, recognized my power in that. And it's invigorating.
And it makes you stronger, which means that you're more there for your family as well, which is I just spent 4 days oh, that would have been nice, 4 days maybe not 4 days away camping and fabulous spot, and just we had an amazing time. But I took my laptop with me, and again, I had no internet access, but I'm working on a training program and I had all the resources there. So my husband, he sleeps for 2 hours every day when we go camping. So I just laid that 2 hours and I thought, I'll work on my stuff then. And I achieved everything I wanted to get done over those 4 days. And it didn't feel like I was sitting there at a table looking out over the ocean. It was really one of the worst office spaces I've ever been in.
Shocking.
But I didn't feel like I should be relaxing, should be doing, you know, I just felt, okay, these are the 2 hours. I put that and then, all right, I'm done now and close it up. And there's no guilt feeling or responsibility feeling on it when you actually assign the time that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go sit in front of the TV for an hour because that's what I need to do at this moment.
We all need, particularly women, for our self-care, because women give. We need to assign time to relax, assign time for self-care, and make sure that we take that time out to look after us. So this weekend when I'm away writing, I won't be writing 24/7. I can guarantee you I will spend at least half an hour a couple of times a day doing a lovely little meditation in the rainforest, just enjoying the coolness and the comfort and watching the turkey scratch in the turkey nest and all the rest of it. That's what I will be doing. And what that does for me is that gives me the energy. It fills my cup so that I can then drink from it and take that energy forward into doing what I've got to do. People ask me all the time. You know, as you know, I'm a very, very busy person and I do a huge amount of stuff. And people ask me all the time, how do you do what you do? And that is one of the biggest secrets, is taking time out and not judging myself for it. Recognizing that the truth of it is that everybody needs revitalization time. Everybody needs time out.
Yes, and I totally agree with you, Mary, and it is important for women, particularly in their own business, to recognize that. We get so involved with what we're doing that we really miss those pointers to say, hey, just, yeah, and it's that, like you said, it's that first thing is hearing it in your head first, oh, how am I speaking to myself, and am I placing judgment, and then going from there. Now, again, now just going back to the generation gap, because you talked about it's, you know, that lack of understanding. But just if you want to progress on that a little bit more, because I know that's particularly your topic of expertise, is that, yeah, so can you expand just a little bit more on that so that we can be more comfortable with, you know, again, it's not judging others. It's all, it's about that, isn't it? It's about not placing that judgment so we can all benefit from each other.
Yes, not placing judgment. Every person has value, regardless of how old or young, what experience level they've had. Every person has a unique gift. And when we judge someone as being useless, when we look at someone and go, oh, that person's completely useless, they can't, you know, a younger person might look at an older person who's not had technological experience. That person can't even turn on a computer. God, they're useless. The older person might look at the younger person and go, that person doesn't know how to open an encyclopedia. Each of those people, we need to look at what's behind that. What is, it's not the skill, it's the outcome of that skill that we need to look at. So when we're judging each other and going, that person's useless because, what we're not seeing is that person can still find the information that they need. So it's really important that we don't look at each other across generations. Each generation has grown through different cultural experiences. And in that time of growing through those experiences, they only know what they've learnt themselves. And what they've learnt for them is reality. It's their reality. So their reality, your reality is different to my reality, is different to the next person's reality. That's the way life is. Every one of us only knows what we know, and we don't know what we don't know, which sounds ridiculous, but it's true. And what we know is actually our perception of reality, because reality is way bigger than you or I or, you know, the 16-year-old down the street or the 90-year-old, you know, next door. It's so much bigger than that. We only have our own little slice of it, our little tiny slice of the pie that we work with. And if we don't judge the fact that my pie's got mulberries and your pie's got cherries, and that we've had different experiences, if we stop judging that and recognize that each of us has an amazingly tasty, fantastic piece of pie that is there to be enjoyed and that has its own treasures hidden within it, then we can actually combine those treasures. And by combining those treasures and combining that experience, whether it's a wealth of experience in life or whether it's a wealth of experience in technology, which is the two levels that I'm talking about with the much older and the much younger person, if you can combine both of those and allow them to connect, each person can feed into the other and it just grows and grows and grows until suddenly you've come up with something that neither person could have come up with by themselves. And harnessing that power in a workplace environment is amazing. If you can get a team to work together that are from all different levels and all different lots of experience and allow them to be fully creative and open to each other without judging each other, it's like a brainstorming process. It really makes a difference to what your outcomes become.
And yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the history that a more mature and older person's gone through, this is just, as you were talking, I'm visualizing that even when I went to school in the first year, we had slates. So, you know, for those that are younger than us, it's a carbon
Yeah. As you know, I'm an older mother.
An iPad.
Yes. I had my first child when I was 36. So there's a pretty significant gap between me and my children, my second one at 42. It's a pretty significant gap. And I am constantly amazed by what they're learning at school. And the reason that they're able to learn at such a high level, processes and things that my son in grade 9 was learning stuff in math that I learnt in grade 12. And I was going, how come you're so far ahead? I couldn't get it. And then I realized, because they actually are allowed to have their calculator beside them right from grade 1. And if they don't know how to add or subtract or divide, that doesn't matter. They just use the calculator. They don't have to learn what we had to learn. We had to rote learn everything. Every bit of information we had to rote learn. And the people who are older than us, even more so than what we did, because they didn't necessarily have access to the books and things that we had access to. They didn't necessarily have access to fantastic libraries and things that we had growing up. So these kids carry a library in their back pocket.
They do. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just... Yeah, and it's a totally different world. So communicating between the different generations is really have to stand back.
Yeah, and what's really interesting too is that the older generation who are embracing technology and they are going on the social media pages and they are reading articles and things, what they haven't learnt that the young ones have learnt is how to distinguish between fact and fiction, because we were taught that if it was a news article, it was fact. And now there is so much rubbish being circulated and told to be fact, and there are all these people coming up with, oh, well, this is right, I read it on the internet. There's a lot of rubbish. Anybody can publish anything they want on the internet, anything. Anything. Yes. And there is so much rubbish. So what the kids are actually taught in school today is how to sift the rubbish from the fact from the fiction. They're actually taught that. That's part of their skill. I remember when my son went into grade 8 and we went to the parent info night, they told us, we will teach them how to sort fact from rubbish and how to know that what they're quoting from is a reliable source, is a factual source. Because there's so much stuff out there now that, you know, and I've seen so many adults who completely believe everything they read online.
I know.
It's quite scary.
The amount of times through the week I sort of send something to somebody, check out Snopes, and you'll find that doesn't exist. It's not real. That's actually an incredible skill, because learning how to sift fact from fiction isn't just learning that one and one is two. It's actually knowledge. It's learning how to apply knowledge, which is not things that often happen in school.
We didn't get taught that. They're getting taught it now. They are getting taught that now. This generation who are at school currently are learning that as part. They're learning resilience and they're learning application of knowledge. They don't necessarily learn the knowledge, which is really interesting. Put them in a general knowledge quiz and they'll sit there and look at you blankly. No idea what you're talking about in a lot of cases. Whereas if you let them get their phones out, they could give you the answers bang, 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 and they'd get every single one right.
So it's
very interesting, because what we learned was the knowledge. What they learn is how to apply it. But then there's a gap in between of the generation who were just told that everything they did was perfect. And you know, they weren't taught. They were taught that they can access it on the internet, but they weren't taught how to sift it. And that is where there's a little bit of trouble there. And that is an area where, as people in the workforce who, you know, are in managerial roles, they have to understand that and they have to help them. It's really important that they give them mentoring and support through that growth period, because it is a growth period for them. They have to learn all of that.
What I noticed, and I don't like generalizing, but it's more that accepting responsibility as well. It's a bit of a trick. Now, we've gone through some time here, Mary. So three takeaway points.
Three takeaway points. First off, be kind to yourself. Okay. Stop judging yourself, because judgment brings fear and fear will hold you back. And if you stop judging yourself, you can absolutely power forward with what you want to do. Give yourself the energy, give yourself the self-belief, give yourself the confidence to go where you want to do and do what you want to do. So be kind to yourself, stop judging yourself. Stop judging others.
Is that a second one?
That'd be the second one. Stop judging others. Allow them the opportunity to be their unique self and to bring their unique gifts to the table. And in doing so, and whether that takes you mentoring them or whatever, but in doing so, it will actually help your business really power forward. If you're trying to take your business forward and you're allowing your team to use their innate strengths, to use their unique abilities, you will be amazed at what you can achieve by allowing them to all work together and recognize each other's strengths. So, When I say stop judging others, I mean make sure that your team's not judging others as well. Work on that. Make sure there's no gossip. Provide that culture, that culture of support and that culture to help them move forward. And the third point would be.
Okay, you've always said to me everyone's an individual.
Yeah, they are. I think I mentioned that in the second point. So, yes, that would be it, that everyone is of value, that everyone is individual, that they have their own unique value, their own unique purpose and their own unique set of experiences.
Yeah, and that they – and being unique that we all are, they – everyone approaches and has different solutions and and we all find different ways to answer questions and accept diversity. And
I very nearly said something that will probably get me into trouble, but it's a saying that my teacher used to say to me, and we'd always look at her horrified when I was at school, is there's more than one way to skin a cat. So just because somebody has a way of doing something and it's not the way you would do it doesn't mean that it won't work. So allowing each person to use their unique talents in their unique way and their unique approach to a problem can actually give you a much better outcome in the end. So allowing that bit of leeway.
And I suppose it's that statement that you hear from people, but we've always done it this way, is opening yourself up to maybe doing it a different way.
Be open to other ways is such a big thing. It's really, really important. Be open to different approaches, definitely.
Now, you didn't tell us the name of your business earlier, Mary.
No, it's Optimal Life Solutions. I work from a practice in Ash Grove, but I also do
that's in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, yes, but I also do one-on-ones with people via Skype, one-on-ones at their place of employment, and I do also group work at various places of employment. So I will work, and I'm currently working with a big not-for-profit in the city doing some training for them as well. So it's very exciting stuff, working with some marginalised people. It's very exciting stuff.
Okay. And that sort of expands on your experiences then as well, working with a completely different type of group of people.
Absolutely. It's really interesting working with a group of very diverse people with very diverse backgrounds. And it's an exciting project that we're working on, and I'm really loving every minute of it, as I do with most things that I do.
Absolutely. So how do people get in touch with you?
They can give me a call. You have the number in front of you, I believe.
Okay, I do have the number in front of me.
I should know my own phone number, shouldn't I?
You should, but that's okay. So it is Optimal Life Solutions is the business name. And if you're not in Queensland, you can put a 07 in front of this, and it is 3510-2160. So 3510-2160 and a 07 in front if you're not in Queensland, and that's Optimal Life Solutions. Just call on me anytime you want me to
Thanks, Janine. I also have the website, which is www.optimalcounselling.com.au, I believe. And I should know my own website, shouldn't I? Or I am on Facebook. Optimal Life Solutions is on Facebook as well.
Okay, so we can track you down. What we're basically saying is we can track Mary Wong down.
You can. Feel free to.
I've really enjoyed our conversation, Mary, and some great information that our listeners can take away and start looking at those little things and stop the judgment or just even recognizing it in the first place.
Recognize it, first step, recognizing it.
Yeah, and looking at how you're perceiving yourself in the other world.
Forgive, start again.
That's
the four steps. Yeah. Just start again.
Being able to do that in a millisecond is vital.
The more you practice it, the better you are at it.
and the thing is, the better you're you do that, the more successful your business is going to be, because you focus then is on growing the business and not on tearing yourself down or tearing others down. So thank you, Mary. I've really enjoyed it, as I said, and I look forward to chatting again soon. I know we'll do so over dinner. I've got to hear that story about the child in the wedding dress. So.
He tells it. He enjoys telling it.
Thank you, Mary
Thanks,
Wong.
Janine. It's been Thanks fun. For having me.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.